Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your many mercies and your many blessings to us. Thank you for watching over us, keeping us safe through another week, allowing us to be healthy and to be here. And Lord, we pray now that you would help us to quiet our fears or anxiety, because Lord, we always have them, whether it's this coronavirus or the flu virus or our own personal sickness or our own personal problems. We're always going to seem to have those, and we're always going to have to quiet our fears. So Lord, we pray that we would hear your word, hear what you have to say, and that we would listen and obey. And we ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Go. Always going to have problems, aren't we, while we're in this life? So you might as well get used to it. If you're my age and you hadn't figured that one out yet, well, I just told you. So now you know. But the question is, how do you avoid anxiety in your life? And that is a question, because I really don't know. And if somebody wants to volunteer an answer. Yes, Eric, how do you avoid anxiety in your life?
Yeah, the Lord's taught me to pray and ask for wisdom through His Word, but He's also taught me to go to my brothers and sisters in Christ, and even to the elders and to my pastors, and to share those concerns and to discuss them. Because even your secular psychologist is going to say that we should voice our thoughts and concerns, get them out, put them out on the table. But we believe in that God Himself is going to hear them, and we're going to confess them, and He's going to remove them from us. So that's helped me over the years, rather than confining, as they want us to do with this virus, which I understand that, but with our anxieties and our worries, we should go to one another and share them, to carry our burdens each one another.
Yeah. Well, that's chapter two. Now we're going to go. No. I got more. Yes, Craig.
Well, following on with what Eric just said, go to the Scripture. Because the Scriptures promise us that we may not understand what God is doing, but we need to trust in Him. See, His ways are righteous. We may not understand, as Isaiah says, but we trust in Him.
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That's what he says. Anybody else? Those are really good answers, and they're actually the right answers. But we're still going to go through the chapter anyway. Not going to get away that easy. Because the name of this chapter is Avoiding Anxiety Through Prayer. And the scripture that I'll read right quick. Actually, I'll read it from here. Well, I'll read this introduction. But it is Philippians 4, 5 through 9. Actually, yes, 5. Yeah, I'll go with 5 through 9. But MacArthur says here, I'm not reading it yet. Says, just as Matthew 6 is Jesus' great statement on worry, Philippians 4 is the Apostle Paul's charter on how to avoid anxiety. Those passages are the most comprehensive portion of Scripture dealing with our topic, and therefore are foundational to understanding how God feels about anxiety and why He feels that way. The teaching is clear, compelling, and direct. In Philippians 4, 6 through 9, Paul issued these series of commands. So I'm going to read it now. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul straightway said not to worry. But he doesn't leave us there. He helps us fill the vacuum by directing us toward positive steps, which I have up here, toward positive steps. And those are right praying, right thinking, and right action, as you see up here. The best way to eliminate a bad habit is to replace it with a good one. A few good habits are as bad, and few habits are as bad as worrying. The foremost way to avoid worrying is through prayer. Right thinking and actions are the next logical step, but it all begins with prayer. And notice what he said. Worrying is a bad habit. Okay? I mean, do you agree with that idea, that worrying is a bad habit? Okay. Because it's important how you think about it, because that will determine what you are willing to do to change it. If you don't think it's a bad habit, you're not going to think you can change it. If you think or say, that's just the way I am, I can't change it, then guess what? You're probably right. If you think you can't, you're probably right. If you think you can, you probably are right. But it is determined a whole lot by how you think about it. And if you acknowledge and agree that worry is a bad habit and that's something that you want to change, then by God's grace, you can change it. But just like any other habit, you have to replace the bad habit with a good habit. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, 9 and 10, it says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." So you have to put off the old self. If you don't, then it's going to stay the same. You have to put it off. So habits can be changed. We change habits all the time. Do you realize that? You change habits all the time. Now, do you wake up at the same time when you're getting ready to go to church in the morning on the Lord's Day as you do to get up and go to work? You either get up earlier or you get up later. I don't know. I try to get up later. At least 5. You know, at least sleep in for 30 minutes. But it is challenging once I get into that particular habit. And I don't want to get out of it because I need to keep doing it. But, you know, at least I try to. We change the habit of being anxious or worrying by taking the positive steps of right praying, right thinking, and right action, which will take away anxiety as well. We're worrying probably because we aren't praying right. You can pray, but you might not be praying right. Because when you're not praying right, that leads to wrong thinking, which leads to wrong action. And as MacArthur said, the foremost way to avoid worry is through right praying. How do you react to problems? What's the way? How do you react to problems? I'm soliciting an answer. Anybody Well, I guess sort of Eric told me a little and Craig told me a little. But is that the first way you react to the problem?
No.
With thankful praise? No. When something happens, you're like, oh, man! Is that a witness, Gino, or is that a...
Yeah, I was just to use a recent one. Thursday and Friday, I do a little bit of grocery shopping, and Friday I go into Trader Joe's, and I walk in there just to get my normal stuff, and I'm like, what just happened here? And initially, I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of people here I've never seen before, so that's why the food's gone. And there was a part of me that thought, just for a moment or two, I thought, what's worse than this virus? We could all starve to death because people are hoarding food. But you know, I realized, and I voiced my frustration to Elizabeth on the car phone when I was driving home. I'm like, who started this hysteria? They need a spanking. And what I told her afterwards, though, because I kind of probably upset her a little bit with my frustration, was, you know what I forgot to do was to pray before I went on to all this, because I knew basically what's going on. But it was like a hindsight learning. That's how a lot of mine is.
Yep.
Hindsight learning.
You're not the only one, Gino.
Yeah.
You go, wow, I didn't pray.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely right. And that really, anybody else? No, I'll cut you off. But that really is what we should do when a problem happens. When problems come into your life, what we should do is we should respond through prayer. But usually how we respond, and we usually all respond differently, is because of our learning or how big the problem is. Okay? If your house is burning down, call the fire department first and then pray. It's okay. Alright? Huge problems, you might not have time to pray. Sometimes you can have those quick prayers. If you're drowning, Lord save me. I've done that before because I thought I was going to drown. And I was like, Lord, you know I can't make it. Because I was caught in a rip current or something. And I really did. I thought I was going to drown. I'm sort of saying it jokingly now, but I was... If I hadn't had that boogie board, I was dodging all these other big boards. I don't know how I got there. But I was sitting out there and I was floating and I couldn't get to shore. And I was like, Lord, I don't know that I'm going to make this. And the next thing that's happening is I'm getting washed up onto the jetty. And I'm serious. So I didn't drown, but man, was I tired and I hadn't been back out there since.
Reading Numbers, I read a verse that it really made me think, because when you get in trouble or when you have troubles, you know, you always wonder, why is this happening to me? But we have to consciously think, you know, the Lord is in control. And then I read this verse, reading Numbers, which can be hard reading Numbers, but I found a lot of verses in Numbers that have been very encouraging. But Numbers 11:1 says, and the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed out some outlying parts of the camp. So it's really knowing that the Lord hates when people complain about what's going on in their lives, you know, should really make us, hey, Lord, I'm not going to complain. I just need your help. You know, call your elders, call your sisters and the Lord, and they'll help you.
Yes. Don't complain. Call somebody for help. That's another thing. You can pray, and then you can ask somebody for help. That's what we're supposed to do. Just don't complain. God doesn't like complaining. But we'll find that out later. So, Again, we respond based on what we've learned, what we've developed, or how big the problem may be. And that's okay. But how does the Bible say we are to respond to problems? Well, Philippians 4:6. This should be our first response. You know, we talk about the first responders. Well, be one. This is your first response. Prayer with thanksgiving. Prayer with thanksgiving should be our first response. And I know that that is difficult. Changing any bad habit is difficult. And it seems like an unrealistic expectation. It seems very Pollyannish. It really does when you read it. Prayer with thanksgiving when there's some kind of problem. That seems very Pollyannish to me. But that is what we are instructed to do in Philippians 4:6. And just as we have learned and developed the bad habit of the wrong response, so by God's grace, we can learn and develop the habit of a right response. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy, Matthew Henry, but he wrote a commentary. I'm joking. I know you've heard of him. But one time, Matthew Henry was robbed. And somebody stole his wallet. And in reflecting on the incident, he said, "I am thankful that he never robbed me before. I am thankful that although he took my wallet, he did not take my life. And although he took all I had, it was not much. And I'm glad that it was I who robbed, not I who did the robbing." And by God's grace and Matthew Henry's faith in Christ, he was able to be grateful and rejoice despite of a bad experience. And that's how we ought to respond to bad experiences and tough times. Because they're going to come. But that is how he responded. So, and in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks." Or give thanks in all circumstances. "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You know, he just doesn't let you get away with not being thankful. It isn't okay. Give thanks in all circumstances. What does all mean? Well, I guess it means all. All circumstances. What? Why is thankfulness the right response? Well, I'm going to tell you. Because God tells us to be thankful. That's the first one. But see, God doesn't just tell us to do things and say, "Because I said so." Even though I found that was a pretty good answer to my kids sometimes. I tried not to do it a lot, but sometimes I had to. But he does tell us, he does say, "Trust me." He tells us to be thankful. And that's something we have to trust him to do. He tells us to do that. Now, as you know, I was supposed to get an MRI, I was supposed to get an MRI on Wednesday. And yes, it was. And so I don't want to do MRIs because they shove you in this tube and it's really tight and I don't like it. And so I start thinking. And I'm reading this verse and it's saying, "Be thankful." And I'm going, okay, what am I to be thankful for? Because, you know, he's not just saying, "Be thankful for the problem necessarily." But let me read this. So I started thinking. I started meditating on that verse, "In everything give thanks." for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And I was thinking about this MRI. And I said, okay, let's make this happen. So I started thanking the Lord. I said, thank you, Lord, that I have medical coverage, that I'm able to get this MRI. Thank you that I live in an area that has technology, that I can also get this MRI. Thank you for the good doctors and nurses and medical professionals that are doing this MRI, that it couldn't be done without them. Thank you that I live in a country to where I can go and get this MRI. And thank you that I have a job that I can take sick days so I can go get the MRI, because they only do it on Wednesdays. That's what they told me. So, and thank you that I go to a church where they are praying for me. Thank you, I have a wonderful wife and kids that support me in this situation. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I could have kept going on. I didn't need to. I understood the point. And because God has given me all of this, all this wonderful stuff, wouldn't it be silly not to think that He is going to help me when I need help to go through this MRI? See how right prayer leads to right thinking? Because now we aren't giving thanks for the problem. I'm not giving thanks for the problem. But problems have a backward way of showing blessings. And worried about the MRI because I have a trial. See, problems highlight blessings is what I'm trying to say. Problems highlight blessings. And God tells us to be thankful because it helps us to focus on Him and not on the problem. So when you start thanking Him, you're no longer focusing on the problem. You're focusing on Him, and then He takes your mind off the problem, and then you realize He's going to help you. Because He's given you everything else. He's given you all this, and you think He's not going to help you through it? See? You see how that works? How that helps you to get your mind off of it and get your mind on God? Because whatever is happening is God's will and under His control. Be thankful for that. Whatever it may be thankful for that. Because nothing can happen outside of God's will. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Thank you. I have written down here, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love God. Right?
Right.
Yep. See, I have written down here, can I get a witness? But I got one anyway. So even though problems will come, we can react in thankful prayer that God is in control and He can help us. Okay? We need to be totally convinced of that. Because if you're not totally convinced of it, you're going to have a problem when it comes. And not trying, and you don't want to be in the problem trying to convince yourself of the problem. Convince yourself that God is going to help you. Because if you're there, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Believing it that God is in control will reduce your anxiety. But training helps us respond appropriately. Training your mind helps us respond appropriately. Now, let me read this. This is good. This is out of a book, obviously. A book I have. It says, this sort of goes back to some of the stuff in chapter 1, too, but it's by a book. It's called Counsels and Thoughts for the Spiritual Life of Believers by Tom T. Moore. Okay? And it says, you cannot lay up a store of grace for future use. The Lord Jesus will have you to be a continual receiver from Him, and therefore keeps your store of grace in His own hands, where it was first placed by your Heavenly Father for your use. That is very... I'd never thought about that. But if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9.
These things aren't as fast as they think.
Chapter 1, verse 9. And it says, I'll start at verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us, verse 9, and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Now, I'm going to reread it sort of. I'm going to say it this way. Just not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and his own grace. The grace that you have is Christ's. It's his grace. I mean, it belongs to him. And he holds on to it for you. It's like the bank. When you need grace, why does he not give us all the grace we need right now and forever? Because you'd never go back to him. You'd never go and say, Lord, I need help. Just like if you don't need a loan, you don't go to the bank. If I don't need a loan, I don't go to the bank and say, hey, I need a loan. No, I don't go to anybody and say, I need it. I got the money. I don't need to ask nobody for money. I got it. If you felt that way about grace, you would never go to him and ask him for anything. Because I got this. You know, like that commercial on TV, everybody going, I got this. You ain't got nothing. That's worth having when time has come. But, so he says, the Lord Jesus will have you to be a continual receiver from himself. And therefore keeps your store of grace in his own hands. All you got to do is go to him and get it. He'll give it to you. Now, it is well, however, to be laying up a store of sound doctrine and spiritual experience, so that when the time of more pressing need may come, the soul so well knows its standing and refuge in Christ that this special need is at once met and satisfied. In other words, you don't go through the panic stage and you don't do all this stuff and get all worried and then when nothing happens, or it turns out good, you can't thank the Lord for his blessings. You got to repent first and confess your sin of not trusting him. Because you didn't have your arsenal full of, I guess you could say, scripture, to where you know to turn to. That's what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to prepare. Prepare for whatever it is. There's nothing wrong in preparing. You know, be prepared. That was the Boy Scouts motto. So there's nothing wrong with being prepared. And then when the time comes, the Lord will meet your need. So training helps with responding appropriately. Also, in the midst of your troubles, be thankful that you're responding. This is something to be thankful for. Be thankful that you are responding to your trial in thankful prayer, rather than some other bad way, like overeating or alcohol or drugs or shopping or some other negative behavior that's going to cause bad consequences. You can be thankful for that. Thankful prayer. Because problems, trials, troubles don't give us license to sin or behave badly. Just because we have them, that doesn't mean we can go and misbehave. It is our privilege and duty to take our concerns to God in thankful prayer. Be thankful if you're responding to problems by praying to God with a thankful attitude. Thank the Lord that you aren't doing the wrong things. So, how can we develop the habit of being thankful to God in the midst of trials and difficulties? How do you do that? Well, I'll tell you. Set your mind to it. Set your mind to it. Determine that you are going to, before troubles come, that instead of responding with feelings of doubt, discouragement, and discontent, you'll respond to trials with a thankful attitude and prayer. You've got to do this intentionally. You've got to plan on doing this. This is your plan here. This is the plan if this happens. You've got to be thinking about it. You really do. You know, if you look in Psalm 119, don't look in Psalm 119, but I'm saying in Psalm 119, it's a very long psalm, but there are so many I wills in Psalm 119. You just go through there at least 24 times. He says, I will. I will do this. And the psalmist was determined to do whatever he said he was going to do. So if you were to, like, for example, Psalm 119, verse 7. My phone ain't cooperating. Psalm 119, verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. Verse 8. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. And I mean, you could just go all the way down. Verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. 16. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. He says that at least. He uses I will at least 24 times. So, and why is it so important to have that kind of determination? Because we have, it has a tendency that the I wills usually lead to the I did. Because if you're not intending to do it, it's not going to happen. If I'm not sitting there saying, okay, I got to go take the MRI. And there's worse things than MRIs, so don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to trust in the Lord to help me. I am going to do this. See, and I will. I will do this. And when I do this, I will praise God that I was able to do this. See, you have to be intentional about this stuff. The Christian life is a life of intentional behavior. It is intentional. You must be intentional about it. If you're not, then it won't happen. Intentionally doing what God tells us to do, even if we don't understand it. And intentionally avoiding what He says to avoid, even if we don't understand it. We don't understand everything He's talking about. But I can tell you that being there, being thankful for about things about that MRI helped me a whole lot. And it showed me the reality of the Word of God. One time I had this person give me a hard time, and you read in the Bible, it says, bless those that persecute you. Bless those that give you a hard time. And that's, have you ever tried to do that? That is really hard to do. And you start praying for them, and you're like, oh, Lord, are you sure about this? And you know, my situation didn't change at all. Neither did she. I was like, really? But guess what's happened? God changed me. And I started having more sympathy toward this individual than anger. And I actually lost all anger, and I wasn't even angry no more. It's amazing how the Lord does that. I don't understand it. I don't know how He does that, but He did it. And then when I changed, guess what? Everything around me changed. All these things that were problems were no longer problems. I didn't care so much. And I just started going about my way. And it really did make it much more pleasant. So I didn't understand it. But by God's grace, He did it. So that's what we're supposed to do. And that's how we must discipline ourselves to do that. Train yourself. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 9:27. It says, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. But I discipline my body. I train myself. to say, I'm going to do this. And that's what we should do. And yes, it does take God's grace, but yes, it does take training too. Because that's what He tells us to do. He tells us to what? Train up a child in the way they're to go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. So, we're still training ourselves up, and He's training us up. So that's what we're supposed to do.
Paul?
Yes, Dave?
I wanted to say something about this training here. In Greek here, the word for training is gymnasium. And gymnasium. And it comes from the word where we get our word gymnasium from. Mm. And in order to train ourselves for righteousness and godliness, you know, it takes work, you know.
Yes, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to go to the gym. That's why we don't go. That's why we buy those memberships and never use them. And I was just going to start going too. They said we can't now, so. But you're right. I was on my way. Oh well. I can go for a walk. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Spiritual gymnasium. And it does take work. And it is hard. And it is a challenge. Any more comments? Oh, good.
Well, I just wanted to share two verses that I think are poignant. So Psalm 139:23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." And then in Proverbs, and this pertains to how we carry each other's burdens, how we walk and grow in the Lord. It's a famous one most of us know. "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another."
Yep, absolutely. That's why you should come to church. That's why we have fellowship.
I think that, you know how charcoal becomes a diamond under mm-hmm. pressure? It's the same way that God holds us, and He wants to teach us many things through the tribulations. And sometimes we can see, and sometimes we cannot see. But after a little bit, then we pause and we realize that that problem or that accident was a blessing in disguise.
They're always blessings in disguise.
Yeah, I should have said that.
Well, I'm not saying. I'm not correcting. I'm saying what I found out is that they're always blessings in disguise. And if you can just see the blessing before it and it ain't being disguised, then you'll be all right. Yes, Lisa.
I just really appreciate your saying right praying, because I was someone who practiced wrong praying for many years, and I never felt better after praying. Never. In fact, I felt worse because my prayer was, God, get rid of this problem.
Yeah.
God, solve this problem. God, please take it away from me. You know I can't handle it. And you say that,
right.
And at the end of the prayer, you're more convinced that you can't handle it, and God probably isn't going to solve it. But praying right, thanking God, praying Philippians 4:7 way, whatever is true, instead of saying, God, fix this problem, say, God, you are sovereign. Instead of saying, God, heal me, saying, God, you are the great healer. And it just really does, I'm so glad you said, don't just pray. Because that was always the advice I was told, was just pray.
Right.
And it didn't work.
It doesn't.
But the emphasis on right praying is huge.
Right. And MacArthur said that. No, I got to give credit where credit's due. MacArthur said it. But yeah, it is important with right praying. And the right praying is at first be thankful. Be thankful before you're anything else. And then it'll lead you into the right direction. And so many times the Psalms start where he's talking about a problem, but it ends and he's praising God. So it's okay to come with problems, but just don't be complaining like Norman was talking about. And be thankful. Because, I mean, just think about it. If somebody comes to you with a problem and all they're doing is griping, you know, you feel like saying, you know what, be quiet. But if somebody comes to you and they're thankful for what they have, but I just have a little bit of problem here, who are you gonna listen to? Who are you going to be more likely to want to listen to? Well, I'm going to be more likely to listen to the person that's being thankful for something rather than just coming in and griping about everything. Because it's not very pleasant. And we need to treat God the same way. Yes, Terry.
We have to pray believing, being thankful for God who's faithful and His timing is always perfect.
Yes.
Romans 8:28.
Yes. I agree with you 100%. You have to be thankful and you have to be believing. But the believing part is sort of hard sometimes. But you can at least try to find something that you're thankful for. Because it's a challenge. This is not easy. This is not easy to do. But if you will do it, the reward is there. God blesses you. And God helps you. And God watches over you. And then He gives you strength to go through it. You know, even... I try, when people say, how are you doing this morning, like at school, they'll say, hey, how you doing? I try to remember to say, blessed. I'm blessed. Because I'm trying to get them to say something, you know. A lot of times they'll just say, oh, I'm good. But the other morning, the guy came by and he said, here's another teacher. He said, oh, hey, how are you doing? I said, I'm blessed. He said, well, it's good you put it that way. And I said, isn't it though? And so we started talking about things, of all the different things we're blessed. He says, yeah, I try to remember that I'm blessed when I'm like washing dishes because I had food to eat. And I said, yeah, exactly. Or you got running water, or you have a house to wash them in. So that is something that it will pay dividends in your life if you have that type of attitude, if you have a thankful attitude. Somebody who doesn't have a thankful attitude is a very sad person. And they're sort of miserable to be around. So, anybody else? Yes, Chief.
Parents taught me with, you know, the acronym ACTS.
Yes.
A-C-T-S. It's like adoration, kind of like how David prays in the Psalms, like adoration first, adoring God for who He is, reminding yourself who He is, and then confession, confessing your sins and asking for forgiveness, thanksgiving for what He's done in your life. By the time you get to S, which is supplication, you've already reminded yourself and meditated on everything God is and what He's done for you, and how depraved you are, and how much of a sinner you are, and how undeserving you are of His grace, and yet He still gives it to you, that you're just so comforted at that point, like, you know, you pray with such conviction by the time you get to the last part,
right.
You know, so at the end, you just leave uplifted, and, you know, He's got it, He's got it, you know, it's just a good practice. So,
yes,
yeah.
No, I agree with you, and by the time you get to the supplication part, you're like, wow, I don't really need that much anyway. You're like, thank you, Lord. And then He starts giving you what you really do need. Yeah. And so, yes. So to, you know, adore, then confess your sins, then thank God, and then supplication. So just remember the acronym ACTS, if you don't know it. If you do, well, you got it. All right. Well, it is 12. Anybody closing comments? Yes, Robert. Roberto.
It's two stories. Finally, one, we were living in a complex and then we have to move to another department because we used to live in a two bedroom. So, no, one bedroom. And they moved us to a two bedroom. And then when we moved, they had to give us the $700 deposit check. And one of our neighbors, he went into our mailbox and stole that one credit card with the PIN number, with the checkbook, and he stole the check deposit. And I remember I told my family, you know what, let's pray God for these people. And I pray it was that forgive them, bless them, save them, because they need you. And 3 days later, one man knocked our door, and I opened the door, and he says, hey, is Roberto Arcos here? Yes, I am Roberto Arcos. How can I help you? Don't call the police, please. Why should I call the police? Oh, because myself and other guys, we stole your mail. And I didn't want to do it, and I told them, don't do it, this is not right. And since I wasn't agreeing, I'm bringing you back your check deposit to you.
Wow.
And then my wife called to the police because they were using the credit card. They used it for a limousine, right? Mm-hmm. And they were trying to get man catched from one place. And then we end up not paying anything. Wow. And we got the check back. I hope God saved them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the right response.
Yeah.
If you pray first. So, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the way that we each individually see you work. And we can testify of how you work. And we're thankful for the way that you do work. Help us, Lord, to train our minds to respond in the right way. To respond to whatever it is by thankful prayer. Right prayer leads to right thinking, which leads to right actions. And it certainly reduces and gets rid of anxiety. Help us, Lord, to learn and pray and to glorify your name and to make sure that we praise your name, because that's what we want to do. And we ask these things and thank you for all your mercies to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.